Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. I am one of your co-hosts, Sharifa Hardy, and as always, we are going to have an amazing show. But before we get started, I want to go ahead and introduce our other co-host, A Bottle of Youth and A Bottle of Youth for Me. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
Sure is.
And we're new grandparents. We had a baby yesterday. Yay.
It does come with hope. I saw the picture, and what was so cool, it's like you guys, I've never met people who just constantly surprise me. You guys, I think, sit at home or late at night and find out ways just to surprise us because we're doing the show, we're talking, we're having a marvelous time. 11:01, I get this picture of the baby, and I'm like, okay, they had to have been hosting the radio show live while this baby is being brought into the world. Like, to me, that's the coolest thing ever. Most people would have forgot about us.
No.
Never. This is our calling. We're like Rachel.
It is.
I really felt where she was coming from yesterday. This is really our calling. And we haven't had a calling like this since the Obama campaign. And funny story, we volunteered to help and ended up becoming the headquarters for our county.
Oh, wow.
I really always called myself a follower, not a leader. And they think to put us in a leadership position.
Well, I was in the military, so I boot camped everybody in the family.
never speak those words aloud to even say you a follower. You are a leader. You just have to give yourself permission to lead.
Yes, and thankfully Punch TV has given me the inspiration to keep doing this. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And until I get the news out to as many people as I can reach, I'm going to keep doing it.
I never really knew what my wife's thing would be, you know, what she would be really, really great at outside of a wife and a mother. But I knew she knew how to talk, and she did that a lot. And in a talk show, serious? I told her mother yesterday, I said, you would be so surprised to hear your daughter on the talk show. So she listened to yesterday's show with Rachel while we sat there. And just could not believe that her daughter, LaDonna, was doing a radio talk show. It would have been the furthest thing, I think, from any family member's mind.
Well, the first thing in her mouth is, what happened to your voice? And I had to remind her that we both had strokes a couple of years ago, and it really does affect your vocal cords. For the longest time, every time I talk, my voice would go up and down, up and down. But it's getting better over time.
And she's my Lucy. I don't know if you guys seen, 51st Dates or, I Am Sam. She's always been my Lucy, and I've been like her Ricky, from like I Love Lucy. She's that person that will be screaming Ricky, and all that kind of thing. I love her to death. I'm so glad that she's enjoying this, because for us to move around as often as we do in our county and around the country as we have, her being on the radio over these last months has been awesome for me to see. You know, it's generally been you know, a stay-at-home mom, or you know, always making sure that we all make our doctor's appointments. And to find what she's really good at, which is talking, I like that, you know. Mm-hmm. She's got a show. Mm-hmm. Are you crying?
Yes.
You sure?
Oh, that's so sweet. I just love you guys. You guys are so cute. And what was so funny was after we did the radio show yesterday with Miss Ramos, we got a newspaper, or I'm sorry, a media outlet. I'm not sure what outlet it was, but they contacted us and they said, we want to interview Rachel Ramos. So that's why I told her, like, if you step out there, the world is waiting to hear from you, because you really, people know her name because she's been a part of Punch TV Studios for 9 years, but as a person and who she is, and she's so humble. We sit at work and crack ourselves up all the time, but stepping out there on faith got her at least another interview. So I thought that was, it was really cool. I love the fact that you're using, this is your calling.
That is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I said, I tell people all the time, when you have Punch TV Studios, it's not a job, it's not a career, it's a calling. You have to be called to do this, and you know it's a calling because, first of all, you don't just look at it like a 9-to-5. You up working and thinking, and it's not work. These ideas and people, we just talk and we laugh, and we, all the people around us, we have a wonderful time, just like family.
Wait till you see our lineup coming up over this next few weeks. It's going to be action-packed. I actually was speaking with Cardi B last night. It was so funny. My wife had put on a Cardi B. I was in contact with her last night, like, explaining to her about Punch TV and their $1 stock offering, because I had seen a video when she was venting after the awards, and I guess she's got a lot of, you know, back in return from some folks, you know, in the industry and stuff. And I was explaining to her, I said, you know, you could continue the way you're going, or you could follow Rachel Ramos. And I explained to her that she was a Latina and that she was the vice president of our company. I sent her the link for the show yesterday. And I said, follow her lead, you know. Hopefully she's going to definitely keep in contact with us. And, you know, I told her, I said, we're here for moments like she had that. I believe it was a Facebook moment, Facebook Live moment, where she just really, really vented and talked about the industry, talked about how hard it is, talked about loyalty. So I told her, I said, become a shareholder, you know, own part of a broadcasting network. A huge, you know, company that's making a difference in the community. And she was very receptive to it as far as, you know, still going back and forth with me over these texts and emails. So I'm very curious to see what she's going to do. I'm speaking about her today because I want to make sure she does do something with Punch TV and changing the conversation, if nothing else, to get her stock shares.
You guys never cease to amaze me. Never.
I didn't know she was
for you. I mean, most people wouldn't have even had the courage. I mean, they would have been like, oh, this is Cardi B. Like, I don't, you know, but you were like, go in there. This is what you need to do. And that's why this works. That is, you know, wow. I can't wait to see the lineup. That I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if these other calls may happen today. I'm really hoping that two other very, very important people in our community, I think one was a president and the other is a congresswoman, Sheila Jackson Lee, invited them to talk on the show. I've invited them to talk about what's going on there in Texas, and also sent her, you know, our condolences for everything that the Texans are going through, because, you know, we do have stations there. I don't know quite how they're being affected right now, But, I mean, I seen an alligator in the street. I seen a shark on a highway. So I know it's very, very tragic down there.
Wow. We're going to take care of it. We have an amazing lineup this week. Monday show was amazing. We had Alfonso Bowen. We had people calling in, asking questions, making comments. Yesterday's show with the Vice President of Punch TV, Rachel Ramos, was amazing. Wednesday's show is not going to be any different. So as always, if you are listening to this show and you want to just listen, that's fine. But we invite you to join us in the Punch Bowl with any questions, any comments that you may have. If you want to join us in the Punch Bowl, please press 1. If you're listening to this show on your computer, you have a question, a comment, you want to just jump into the Punch Bowl, feel free. Give us a call, 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Press 1 to let us know you want to join us in the Punch Bowl. But we're going to bring on our guest. Before we do that, we want you to do what we always do. Text a friend, post it, share it on LinkedIn, tell the word. The world that we are live, Changing the Conversation on Punch TV Radio Network is live right now. We brought this guest here to the Punch Bowl for you, and we want to make sure everybody knows to tune in to Changing the Conversation. So we're going to bring in our guest, Mr. Leroy McKenzie Jr., who is the man. He has so much going on, from the Black Writers Guild to Making It Happen, Inc., to Young and Gifted, his new book. So we're going to give him the opportunity to join us in the Punch Bowl. Mr. McKenzie, are you with us this morning?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. How are you this morning?
I'm doing excellent. I am outstanding. I hope everybody else is having a great day so far.
We do. You can see host the show by ourselves. We sit here and have our own little conversation, so we good. I'm like, wait a minute, let's bring Leroy McKenzie into the conversation before it's 11 o'clock.
I see.
He was like, wait a minute, this is my show. So tell us about you. Tell us about what you have going on.
Well, I am the president of JNF Enterprises, which is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm in Baltimore, Maryland. And what we do is we are a company that is looks to enlighten, empower, and impact the communities that we are part of. And we do that by our book publishing services, by our business consulting services that we offer to aspiring authors as well as seasoned authors. And then those individuals that are aspiring to be entrepreneurs, want to start their own business, impact the community that way. And then those that already have businesses but are also looking to impact the community in a greater way or in a better way.
Okay, when you say impact the community, what does that mean to you, impact the community?
What that means to me, impact the community, means three things to me. That means everything that JNF is involved with, or that projects that we are part of, or even partnerships that we develop with other businesses and the like, has to have three components. It must enlighten you, it must empower you, and it must impact you. It must enlighten you because it must teach you something. It must empower you because it must equip you with the tools that you need in order for you to be able to do what it is that you have a vision to do. And then it must impact you, which is where you have the responsibility to take what you've learned, take what you've gotten, and you actually pour that into someone else by giving them those same tools that you've received and growing and helping to grow the community. I'm really big on our communities, like the title of your show, Changing the Conversation, changing the conversations of our community, because our communities need to have a mindset shift where we think differently about what it is, who we are, what we do and how we can do it. So when that mind shift takes place, and when we can have that kind of impact in the community, we change. We can change not only our house, change the block, then we change the city, and then we change the state, and we change this nation that we're in.
Okay, so when we say a mind shift, what is it that we need to shift from? When we say a mind shift, what do we need to shift from, and what do we need to shift to?
We need to shift from a can't do attitude or a entitlement attitude to we must do attitude, we can do attitude, and we are doing attitude. I think that's the where we are, or where some of us are, and then where we need to be. Some of us who have the mindset of, look, it's us against the world. We're not going to depend on everyone else or anyone else to do what it is that we've been equipped to do ourselves. We can do it. And we have to look at other ethnic groups that we know are out here and who are doing that very thing and say, you know what, if they can do that for their communities, and they have self-sufficiency and own, you know, have ownership of the businesses in their community, and their money recycles 8 times, 10 times within their community, why can't we do that same thing? So I think that's what I mean when I say that there has to be a mind shift and where we go, where we are to where we need to be.
No, I mean, I completely understand you, and I completely agree with you, you know, and I'm one of those people who have this conversation all the time, but the little, the caveat that I add to that is that other communities do things because that's what was bred into them generation after generation after generation. The thoughts and the decisions that we make is what was bred into us and what was forced into us for generations after generations after generations. So today in 2017, we are doing what we know and what we've been taught, because it always reminds me of a post or a statement that I believe Harriet Tubman made when she said she freed a lot of slaves, but she would have freed a lot more slaves if only they knew they were slaves. So that's, again, that mindset shift. And so there are a lot of people right now who don't know that they're slaves to debt, that they're slaves to their boss, that they're slaves to their house because they don't want to leave their job, because then they might possibly lose their house or the things that they love the most. So that is important. So we have to teach them. We have to educate them. And then there are people like, you know, like they talk about on the slave plantation, you know, there weren't any fences holding them in, but it was their fears and everything that happened that kept them from leaving. And it's the same thing. It's our mindsets that keep us from leaving those plantations, even though we know that there are other opportunities out there. So I just try to be gentle with people and say, you know what, there are other opportunities if you have the courage to take these chances.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And what I tell people too is it's not for, I guess, the entrepreneurship and even taking those steps that you said is not for everyone. Everybody's not going to feel comfortable making that, you know, making that leap, making that jump, making that push. But what has to happen is understanding your place in part of that movement, and saying, okay, as a community, what is my part in that? What part do I play in that? I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to be the one who is the lead, or I don't have to be the one who is out front. But what can I do, you know, kind of like behind the scenes? What can I contribute? And I think that's the biggest part. What can I contribute to what it is that we need to do and what we try to do? You know, and when you take that approach to it, like you said, I think you have people that are more comfortable, you know, in what they do, and understanding what their lane is. And when you understand what your lane is, or understand what it is that you, you know, the part that you can play, if you play your part, then that's what you do. I mean, it's like a basketball team or a football team, where you have to understand your position, understand your role, and you do that to the best of your ability. And when you do that, when you do what you do to the best of your ability, nobody can say anything about that.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So, what was personally your driving force to make you want to take up this charge?
Well, what motivates me, one, is my passion for my people, and how I want to see us to be able to strive and to accomplish great things, because we all have greatness within us. Being able to see people who have vision, who have drive, and who want to accomplish whatever it is in life, that they are equipped to do what it is that they want to do, and to be able to see that come to fruition and come to reality. There's no better feeling than that for me. So that's what, you know, kind of pushes me, gives me that energy when I'm, you know, when things may not be going well for me or anything like that. I remember what it was, or knowing what it is to help someone else and to see someone else achieve or say thank you for doing what you do. Give you a prime example. This past weekend, I was at an event, and there was a gentleman that was there who purchased one of my books like 3 years ago. And he was he's a school teacher here in the Baltimore Public School System. And he said he read my book, and he took some of the principles and things that I talked about in the book on leadership, and he implemented them into his curriculum and what he was teaching his students. And that just, I mean, that made my day. That made mm-hmm. my day that somebody said, you know, wow, something that you did has affected me so much that I want to impart that into other generations that are coming along. And that's what that impact, you asked earlier about what is impact to me. That's the impact that I look to have, where it's not just today, but it is for tomorrow as well.
What are some of the things that you would like to see happen in our community in the future? What is it that you would like us to achieve?
What I would like to see us achieve, one, is more unity. If people understand what I mean, more unity, where we have a mindset of what our grandparents had and what our parents had, where it was you knew your neighbor, you talked to your neighbor, you had a better relationships with your neighbor, as opposed to where we just kind of come and go, and we're so busy nowadays that we don't take the time to kind of know the people around us, so that when things happen, such as what happened down in Houston, you have a collectiveness mm-hmm. where everybody is just like, is Mrs. So-and-so okay? You know, let's make sure she's okay, because she might be an elderly person, or is so-and-so okay? Because she has, you know, there may be, she has kids, or are those kids okay? Make it where we just have that collectiveness. Or even when I think about the Black Wall Street and Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there was this collective community effort to do business with each other, to make sure that we supported one another, our businesses, our community, ourselves as a community, and we all took ownership of, you know, kind of each other. That's what I would most like to see, because when that happens, I think our communities become stronger, our communities become more educated, and we learn more from each other. We learn more about our past. And even about where we can go in our future, because we see, you know, the children will get to see those individuals who have accomplished some great things in life, and say, wow, you know what, I can do that too, as opposed to seeing it on TV, or just admiring athletes and entertainers, where they see the average everyday entrepreneur or average everyday school teacher, doctor, lawyer, right there in their neighborhood, and it becomes infectious.
No, I mean, the world that you're describing is a world that I definitely want to see. That's what we're doing here at Punch TV Studios. We're creating generational wealth, and we're creating jobs. And the, how we're doing that is by producing over 300 new feature films and television shows to be able to create those jobs. But the thing, again, because I always just try to get people to understand is that no matter what, I believe that everybody wants that. Everybody wants to speak to their neighbors. But it's two things that happen. Number one of the things that you mentioned is Black Wall Street, which is a prime example. The people burned Black Wall Street down. They literally set the everything down, and it burned in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yep. So once a person burns down something, it's just like training a dog. If you do something so many times, other people are afraid to take that chance because the last time they tried to have Black Wall Street, it was literally burned down. So the other people are like, I'm not going to do all of that because I don't want my stuff burned down. So that's number one. But number two, for me, I believe personally, and again, this is a personal belief, is that at the root of all evil, even though they say the love of money is the root of all evil, for everything that you described, even speaking to your neighbor is a result of your mindset, is a result of you being happy. And when you have an economy and you have a society where people don't have jobs and they are unable to feed their children, they don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to come home, be left alone so they can sit on their couch and be depressed about the job they hate that they have to go to tomorrow. So when you can create jobs and you can feed people, because I always say full people don't steal. When people are full and they're happy, they're not sitting around thinking about how to rob their neighbor because they have more than enough. And that's when you have times of peace, and that's when you walking down the street and all of a sudden you like, hey, my neighbor waved to me, and you like, hey, neighbor, how you doing? How you doing? Because it's like we made it through together. So right now, a lot of people are just simply trying to make it through. So that's why I always say if you create jobs and you give people the resources to feed their families and to really, you know, because in this, I was a total, complete Bernie Sanders person, you know, like I wanted Bernie to take us all the way to the White House. Like I was about to go to Bernie's house and talk to him. And I'm like, Bernie, like, what's going on? Because you need to be in the White House, you know. But he understood, and nobody else understood, is that there's no reason in the world why working people, I'm not knocking or talking about the people who are on government assistance. I'm talking about the people who work 40 hours, at least 40 hours a week, and still receive food stamps. I'm talking about the people who are adjunct professors who work at colleges and universities and teach our children, but they receive food stamps. That's not a society that is taking care of our people. So once we give people who are working class people, we've eliminated the middle class, and you bring back the middle class people and you allow them to feed their children, then you're going to have a society who is happy.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And what I would add to what you're saying, it to me, it's more than just about jobs. I think it's about education, because education prepares you for whatever. It doesn't have to be just formal education. I'm talking whether it's a trade, whether it's learning something, learning how to do something. Because when you have the ability to be able to, or you have a skill or a skill set, that you're able to do something, like you said, you have a sense of accomplishment, you have a sense of, like you said, I can do, and I'm going to do, you know, and it changes the way that you carry yourself. It changes the way that you think. It changes the way you walk around, like you said, a lot happier, because it's like, wow, I'm being productive, which is what God created us to do, is to be productive. No matter what it is, and when we are in, when we walk in that, what he created us to be, there is a fulfillment in that, and I think that's what we have to get back to in our communities, is that fulfillment of being productive, because right now when a lot of us in our communities don't feel productive, like you said, I can't tell you, just like you said, so many of us are on these jobs and are just unhappy. I mean, they're like, they literally don't want to go to work. They don't want to be on a job. And you can't be, I don't care what anybody says, somebody who is unhappy on a job is not as productive as they can be because they don't want to be there, you know.
Exactly.
So they don't want to be there. So when you have a sense of accomplishment and you have the educational background to assist you to be able to do something, I think it helps you to be able to reach to a higher level, and you hold yourself to a higher standard when you have that. When you're feeding yourself, you feed your family, you're doing what it is that that you've been created to do. You can't help but be happy and to say, I'm actually doing something in this world, you know.
Exactly, and I completely agree. I think maybe the term job, career, entrepreneur, I'm definitely a complete. Supportive of entrepreneurs. But like you said, it's the skill set. And that's why I believe and I know for a fact that God gave each of us a talent. Each of us. He gave some more talent than the others. But everyone in this earth who's breathing and walking has some talent. And that talent was given for one reason only, and that was for you to survive. That's what your talent is for. Whether your talent is in computers or singing or whatever, it's for you to be able to survive, be able to feed yourself. And so what happens is, in our school systems especially, they have removed so many things that give a person a skill set. And so since they have no skill set, then they're unable to go out and get a career and get a job or be entrepreneurs because they don't have the basic skill. My father owns his own plumbing business, and I'm 41. Okay. And in my lifetime, in 41 years, my father has owned his own plumbing business. He's not worked for anybody else. So I have that entrepreneurial spirit, but a lot of people don't have it because they don't want to get that skill set and go out and do the work it takes. So they're okay going out and getting a job and being okay and being stuck, and that's not that sense of fulfillment and that sense of accomplishment that they would have if they went out and actually used their skill set or their talent in order to survive and be successful. So we are having such an interesting conversation. We were talking so much, I didn't even stop for a commercial break at the 15-minute mark, but it's 10:30. We're getting into the show. It's starting to get good. So what we're going to do is I do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and I will be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. We have a network of television stations around the country. And today, we are proud to announce that we have just launched our newest television station across all of Southern California. KILM is the new Punch TV. Check your local listings on Direct, Dish, Spectrum, Charter, Frontier, and over the air for free. From the desert to the sea, it's Punch TV. For more information on the second phase of the Punch TV Studio stock offering for only $1 per share, call 310-419-5914, 310-419-5914, or log on to PunchTVStudios.com. That's PunchTVStudios.com.
Investing in IPO carries a degree of risk. There is no guarantee that your investment will be secure. Do not invest if you cannot afford to lose your investment.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
Do you, Nabuki? Nobody, I guess. I'm all alone.
Please.
You gotta come back.
and let us know. Like, everybody, Nabuki, I think a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me taking over Nabuki. I saw a bottle of youth move to the number two spot. I think we done made Tony mad. Tony, like, he was number two. Now he's number three. So we got to get a bottle of youth for me up there. Bottle of youth is right behind Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. So if you are just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation, we are having a very interesting conversation. We're discussing some of society's issues, what they are, how we can deal with them. So if you're listening on the line and you want to join the conversation, feel free to jump into the punch bowl. If you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, feel free. Give us a call, 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And press 1 so we know you want to join the conversation in the punch bowl. Today we have Leroy C. McKenzie Jr. in the punch bowl. And some of the information, tips, strategies, recommendations that Mr. McKenzie has given us this morning are just amazing. So if you missed the first 30 minutes of this show, I suggest you check it out in the archives. Mr. McKenzie, we were just getting started and talking about what's going on in today's society, but you are one of those people who just doesn't talk about it. You actually walk the walk, and you have programs and businesses in place to help people with becoming entrepreneurs. So tell us a little bit more about your program and how you can help.
Yeah, what I do, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, I actually have I do workshops, I do speaking engagements with corporations, and then also workshops for those individuals that are looking to start businesses. And what we do, or what I try to do, is to take them through a development strategy that I try to put together for them. And what we do is we talk about their vision, we talk about what it is that they would like to bring to reality, because that's what it is. It's about bringing your vision to reality. And then what are the steps that you need to do in order to be able to do that? One of the things that we have is an entrepreneur kit, which is where we put together the different tools that you need in order to be able to be a successful entrepreneur. Because what I found when I first started my business was there were a lot of books on that told you how to start a business, how to get your business going, but there wasn't any books that showed you or kind of concentrated on how to keep your doors open. Because most businesses, they fail within the first 5 years, and those businesses
right.
don't survive because they aren't, they don't take the time to be structurally sound. And what I mean by that is by the entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, doing their homework, doing their research on their particular industry, knowing where their industry came, with the history of their industry, where it is now, and then where it's going to be in the future, so that when you have an understanding of the full view of your industry. And so I wanted to put together things that gave you that type of understanding, doing that research, having a business plan, the importance of having a business plan, what a business plan is, what are the components of a business plan, why do you even need a business plan, what a business plan entails. What is a website, having a website, how important is a website, a marketing strategy, a marketing plan and a branding strategy, because the two are different, understanding what is it that you want people to know about you when you're not there. How do you brand yourself, not only as an individual, but also as a company? What is your niche? Where do you fit in your particular industry? How are you going to stand out in your industry? So I put together those kind of things that we do, the workshops that we do, or even speaking engagements that we do, partnering with different organizations that that have that need and actually do that as that may do part of that as well, or add to what I try and do, and then also gaining the exposure, and even on the publishing side, for those that are interested in writing a book. You have a lot of people that say, "Oh, I want to write a book, but I'm not sure how to go about it." Well, we put together a program that takes you through the whole writing process, understanding what it is to be a writer, how to even begin writing a book, where do you start, what do you do, what are the components of a book, what's the difference between a fiction book and a nonfiction book, what should my book include, how do I deal with printers, how do I get the exposure that I need. So those are all the things that we try to that we put together, that we try and help individuals or collectively people to be able to do with what we do in the, not only just in the community, but overall as JNF Enterprises.
Now, I can definitely tell you, just listening to everything that you broke down and the way you broke it down, that you definitely know what you're talking about. I knew that before just reading your bio and just watching some of your posts on social media, but you actually listed a lot of, you know, and I built my first website in 1994. My background is startups. You know, I was one of the people who helped create CheapTickets.com. Perks.com, AlmostGolf.com, and that's why I'm here with PunchTVStudios.com. Uh-huh. You know, Punch TV Studios doing what we're doing. But I just want to add one thing that to what you're saying. I've, you know, done a lot. I've hosted my own radio show for years, and a lot as far as the entrepreneur and speaking engagements. And the one thing that I want to add, where a lot of entrepreneurs go wrong, is that the Harvard school of thumb is that when you start a business, you should have enough money in the bank for 5 years, whether you make a sale or not, period. And what happens because of the economy and because of today's society, most businesses or most entrepreneurs do not have – hear me when I say, this is not just for you, Mr. McKenzie, this is for our listeners mainly – but most business owners do not have enough money in reserve to stay in business for 1 month, let alone 5 years. And so what happens is they are dependent solely on profits. And when you start a business, you should not be dependent on your profits. You should be dependent on the money that you have in your account, in your reserves, so that you can stay in business. Because what happens with the big boys, say they do a marketing campaign and that marketing campaign completely fails, they have enough in their war chest to try out that marketing campaign. But for most small business owners or entrepreneurs, it's life or death. If this doesn't work, I'm out of business. I have to close my doors. So one of the things that I try to talk to entrepreneurs about is looking at the long term, some of the decisions that they can make to stay in business and remain in business, whether they make a dime or not.
Absolutely, and I think people have to understand too, and this is what one of my things that I've incorporated this year, last year as well, and even before. But when it comes to making those type of decisions that have to deal with your business, you have to ask yourself this question: is am I going to be, or is the business going to be better off after I make this decision than before I make that decision? If the business doesn't grow, if it doesn't grow you, if it doesn't move you in a positive direction, then that decision should not be made. You know, you should not be taking on that particular project. And sometimes we have to not be afraid to say no, I can't do that. You know, you have to understand that sometimes it's better for you, and like you said, in the long run, to say no, I can't do that. You know, I'm not going to put myself in that position. What comes to my mind is I don't know if folks remember the movie The Family That Prays by Tyler Perry.
Oh no, let me tell you. I watched that movie 869 times. I love that movie. I love that. Because even before that, I just have to throw this. I love Catherine, what's her name? Catherine Bates. Kathy Bates?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
I mean, all the Tyler Perry people was cool, but I've been watching Ms. Bates since she hobbled that boy or whatever. I'm sorry. I digress. Go ahead. Misery.
Yes.
Misery.
Yeah, that,
but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Misery. No, but in the movie, she when she's talking to her son, and they and they're trying to get her to sell the stock, she says, "I don't want to do that because it will put me in a position of not being in control," and it didn't make her. It put her in a vulnerable position, and she knew she wouldn't be better off after she made that decision than before.
Right.
But the savviness that she had was she knew she had an ace in the hole as well because of her friend that she had. So she like, okay, I can do it, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I still got this ace in the hole back here that I know that if my son, who I know is not going to do right, you know, in the first place, may try and do me wrong. And then even with Robin Givens' character, when she
I
was
love
telling
that. Oh, I love her.
About the money. She was like, you're putting the company into a very a vulnerable position. She was telling him, explaining to him, but he was so money hungry that he wasn't thinking about the long term of the company. He was just thinking about the here and now, what it could do, and not thinking of the overall perspective of it. So we have to be careful when we're thinking as entrepreneurs or even aspiring entrepreneurs that we do think about the on the other side of the decision. You know, and when we do that, then I think you find yourself better, you know, kind of better prepared or better off than you will be or than you are before.
I'm like Maury Povich. I agree with you 1,000%. Like, I'm in 1,000% agreement. And I love the point. All our listeners, everybody, if you have not seen The Family That Prays and you want to be an entrepreneur, go and see this movie. Because not only the things that you mentioned, it was two other aspects of the movie that I loved. Robin Givens' role when she had to break down her degrees that let him know if my degree is from here and here and here that qualifies me to be the COO of this company. And it's so often, especially as women and black women, that people think that we got here on our backs or however we got here, but it's our degrees and our experience that qualifies us to make these kind of decisions. The other point that you kind of briefly touched on that I love about the movie is that business is not only about making decisions. Business is about strategic alliances. And what she did was she set up her alliances so she knew, like you called it an ace in the hole, and it definitely was the ace in the hole, but her ace in the hole was her strategic alliances. And sometimes strategic alliances go back 20, 30, 50 years, and people don't even know who they're sitting at the table with. And I love, I love that. And one of my expressions even around Punch is I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe in God, but I always tell you, God says there's always a warning before destruction. And she told her son, if you try to get me, I will burn you at the stake. And she told him
sure
because
did.
She knew her ace in the hole, and she knew, like you said, what her son was going to do, and he did it anyway. So she had to take the best steps to not only protect herself, but to protect the company, which is for the people. And that's why I love it, and I want everybody to watch it, because that's a prime example of business. And the people who weren't on the up and up, the people who were sleeping around to get to the top, the people who didn't do right, they're the ones at the end of the day that wound up with the destruction. But there is all the people, they call me a punch, the hatchet. I come in, you're not doing your job, you fire. But there's always a warning before destruction. This is the job. I need you to do this job. Can you do this job? Okay, we trained you. We helped you. You know, we need the best of the best. So if we have to let you go because you don't want to have to be the best of the best, then I'm sorry, but everybody we bring on is dedicated. That's why it's a calling. I was up last night, and let me tell you, I was trying to mind my own personal business, doing whatever, and I get a call from a bottle of youth like, I got an idea. Are you busy? I'm like, kind of, but talk to me. You know what I mean? And that's why I love these guys. You know what I mean? That's the energy. That's the people that we want to have around us.
Absolutely, and it's very critical to whether you're being an entrepreneur or the relationships that you build And the truth be told, that's what business is about. Business is about relationships, whether it's the relationship between your business and your clients, or whether it's for, you as a business with other businesses. It's about building those relationships and having relationships with other with others, because people do business with people that they know. That's just the bottom line of it. They really do, because we want to do business with people that we know, that we feel comfortable with, that we know their mindset, the way that they think, the what they do. We have to. We want that. That's what makes us be able to accomplish a lot, because we say, okay, I feel comfortable enough with this person in order to be able to. In order to be able to bring them something, bring them a product, just like you just mentioned them calling you last night. They felt comfortable enough with you to call you and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. You know, I need to run this by you. I need to do this. I want to do that. What do you think about that? And that says a lot. That says a lot for us when people lean on us to get understanding, or to say, what do you think? They value your opinion. And then even when you get referrals, I can't tell you how it makes me feel when I have someone who may, you know, who may call me or connect with me, and they say, well, I got your information from so-and-so. They said that I should talk with you because I'm interested in writing a book, or I'm interested in starting a business, and they said you're somebody that I need to talk with. I'm like, wow. You know, that
I completely agree, because I always tell people my, you know, my website and everything, you know, my whole thing is always Ask Sharifa. And I tell people, number one, 99% of the business I get is strictly referrals. I don't, you know, I do marketing, but I don't do advertising.
Right.
Like, I don't advertise. I get 99% strictly from referrals. And what's funny is the referrals that I get all the time call me and say, I don't know what you do, but Leroy said to call you. And I'm like, don't worry, it happens all the time. They don't know, but Leroy said, this is the person you need to talk to, whatever it is that you need to do, talk to Sharifa. They like, I don't even know what a business consultant is. I don't even know, but Leroy said, talk to Sharifa. So you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, and it goes such a long way, those relationships that we, you know, that we build and that we nurture and grow, because it's the lifeline of, you know, it's the lifeline of your business. You know, those relationships that we build, trust me, when you build that relationship or build those relationships with your clients, they become loyal customers. They really do. They become loyal. You know, and that's the branding part of it. Because people know, they associate you or your brand with certain, you know, certain characteristics. So
and it's so much easier to keep existing customers or existing clients than it is to go out and find new clients. So if you work with your current clients, they are the ones that are going to build your business, because they are the ones who are going to give referrals. They're going to say, you know what, if you want to publish a book, you have to go here, because he will take care of you, and you will just see your business grow. Because now, you know, I'm at Punch 24 hours, 7 days a week. I don't even advertise. I don't even market, but I get people calling me all the time for marketing, and I'm like, I don't even take on clients anymore. Like, I got to the point where I take on less people. I mean, yeah, I turn down more clients and more work than I actually take on, because I understand the business, but I appreciate the referrals that I continue to get. So you are absolutely correct, absolutely correct. And, again, I can see, you know, because some people, I tell you, they come on and they try to, you know, I ain't even going to say the whole word, but they try to BS me. You know what I mean? They try to BS. They be like, oh, okay, let me tell you, I know about business and I've been doing business since I was 12, but they can't give specific tools how to do it, what to do, and that's where a lot of people suffer from. So, again, I want you to tell our listeners what you do, and I'm just saying this again, so if they hear it, they will come to you, go to your website, give them your website, any social media, because you know what you're talking about.
Well, what JNF is, JNF Enterprises, is a distribution, publishing, and business consulting firm in Baltimore, Maryland. And what we offer, the services that we offer, are book publishing services and then business consulting services. If you are an aspiring author, if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, or even if you're a seasoned author or a seasoned entrepreneur, we have products and services that will bring your vision to reality. And that's how I put it simply that way. We help assist individuals to bring their vision to reality. We'll talk with you. We'll guide you through the process of bringing that vision to reality. Our website is www.jnf. That's J as in Jesus, N as in never, F as in failed, and that's what JNF stands for, Jesus Never Fails, Enterprises at yahoo.com. And then social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can look us up on Instagram. It's at JNF Enterprises, Twitter at JNF Enterprises 1, Facebook, you can look me up on at JNF Enterprises, or my regular page, Leroy McKenzie Jr., either one.
Okay, so we're coming down to the last few.
Well, I want to ask Mr. McKenzie. He's up in the Baltimore area, and I know last night I just heard on about Havity Grace, Maryland, about this 15-year-old who was found in a dumpster. I want to know if he could share any more new news, maybe that we haven't heard of. I don't think it's made a national story yet. But, you know, my family is also in Aberdeen, Maryland, which is Havity Grace is there. So I was just wondering if he had heard anything new, if they had caught anyone, and what he thought about what's going on in his close community.
Well, no, I haven't. I haven't heard anything about that story. And that's a really a horrible story about somebody being But I haven't heard anything about that, or even them catching the individuals either. So I'm not sure that but as far as what's going on here in Baltimore and the surrounding area, I love my city, and there's some great things going on in the city. And unfortunately, Baltimore, when you get outside of the of the Baltimore area, a lot of folks don't really know the positive things that are going on. And our city got a lot going on. Trust me, it's a lot going on here, and especially with the high homicide rate and all of those things. But I do know that's one of the reasons why I try to play such an active part in what and changing what we talked about, the conversation, and changing the mindset of our community, so that we aren't dealing with as many homicides. We aren't dealing with something that happened like that, like you said, up in Havity Grace in Aberdeen, and I know that area, and I actually know some folks that live up there too. But it's a sad thing. But you have to. I know one of the things that I do, and the other folks that are like-minded like me that are trying to do positive things here in the city, it's just to, honestly, it's about getting exposure and letting folks know the great things that are going on in this city, so that they know that there are things for them to do, that there are that they can accomplish great things. If they do the work, you know, they got to put the work in, got to do the work, and nothing comes easy, you know, but we have to be willing to do. And that's what myself and a lot of others, we keep, I call it keep pounding that rock. You know, you keep pounding it, you keep doing what you're doing to try to have a positive impact. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it seems like it's a constant struggle, but you still keep going and you still keep moving, because you know that even if it impacts one person in a positive way, it's worth it. And it's what my pastor calls making life better for someone else, and that's what it's all about, making life better for someone else.
Amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen. So if you miss any part of today's show, I suggest you listen to it in the archives, get your pen, your paper out, take some notes for Mr. Leroy Steve McKenzie Jr. This has been yet another amazing show. I want to thank Mr. McKenzie for joining us today in the Punch Bowl on Changing the Conversation.
Absolutely. Loved it. I appreciate it. And let's this year be unstoppable.
That's right. Be unstoppable. I want to thank A Bottle of Youth and A Bottle of Youth for me for co-hosting today's show and joining us in the Punch Bowl. You guys are so wonderful.
And we want to thank Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you so much.
From the bottom
much,
of our hearts.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank all our listeners for tuning in to Changing the Conversation. We will be here tomorrow, Thursday, for another amazing episode. Until then, we are out.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabucchi.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.